Okay, it's going to be very easy to be very confused about what has happened in Olympia in the last 48 hours. Okay, what it all gets down to is the most radical tax policies that have ever seriously been proposed. You know, there's always some, you know, crazed fanatic legislator who will come out with a proposal. I'm not counting that. I'm talking about a serious proposal, meaning a serious chance of passing by powerful, influential legislators. The most radical proposals I've seen in my life have come out in the last 48 hours. Now, part of them are transportation policy. That's a separate budget that they pass in Olympia. And it's not part of the what's called the general fund budget. But the transportation policies are also very radical and, of course, involve taxes. So you have a transportation budget filled with radical proposals, and you have a budget proposal filled with radical ideas. And to make things even more confusing, there are different versions in the House and Senate, though basically they're singing off the same song sheet. So we are going to put the transportation radicalism to the side. And we're going to focus for the better part of the rest of the show on the budget. Because what is happening down there in Olympia is absolutely crazy. And the best person in the state of Washington to lay it all out, let you know just how bad it is State Senator Chris Gildon from Pierce County. We've had Chris on the show from his earliest days in the legislature, and he's become not just a rising star, but a star in the state Senate. He joins me this morning. Chris, how are you, sir?
John, I am doing better than I deserve. Thank you.
Okay. Let us begin with just how radical these proposals are that, again, senior members of the majority party are putting forward as here's where we want to go from here. What will change from right now, the status quo, if they get their way?
Well, I guess the first thing that would change is about $21 billion with a B in new taxes across our state. They've proposed a number of new taxes, about $12 billion in what we call a wealth tax. They call an intangibles tax, but it's basically a tax for the privilege of owning assets, stocks, bonds, and such, whether you make a transaction with them or not, just the privilege of owning them. And living in our beautiful state, you get to pay taxes on that. Another one is about $6.5 billion.
So wait, can you let's take these one at a time, because I want people to know just how stunning this is. This taxes would be levied at what rate?
So this is basically they call it $10 per 1,000. It's 1%.
Well, okay,
I don't
1%.
Know why they got to make things difficult.
Okay. So 1%. So if you are worth $1 billion, 1% of $1 billion is, I believe, $10 million.
Yeah, so it would be applied on the amount above $50 million. And it applies to only certain assets, stocks, bonds, those type of intangible assets. So it wouldn't be on your entire net worth. But still, it's a very sizable tax that people would be incurring. And, you know, the interesting thing about this is every place where they've tried to implement a form of this tax, they've moved away from it because they found out that they don't actually collect what they think they're going to collect, because people with that amount of money, they probably already have a house in another state or in another country, and they can very easily move to somewhere else. Senator Noelle Frame, who's one of the proponents behind this tax, she said that she doesn't think that people will leave because, you know, we have Mount Rainier and it's so beautiful here and we have a great workforce, but we've already seen some folks move down to Florida. And, you know, these people with those type of assets, they will make choices that are best for them. And one of the things that I worry about with this particular tax, John, is it's just so unstable.
Well, of course.
And we saw this. Yeah.
That's why other states and other countries that have levied what is a wealth tax. And again, the difference is you are taxed not for what you sell, not for what you buy, not for what you earn, but simply, for the most part, for what you're worth. The value of what you own in terms of stocks and securities and other financial assets, you are simply taxed for it existing. So you would it's a tax the likes of which we've never had before if they were to get their way. And we've had Noelle Frame on the show where she was in favor of an earlier iteration of what is euphemistically called the intangibles tax. She acknowledged it was just a tax on your wealth, what you happen to be worth. So that's where she's coming from on this.
Well, and the thing that's really scary to me about this proposal is they're trying to balance the state's budget using $12 billion of this tax. We know they're not going to collect $12 billion. As a matter of fact, in the fiscal estimates, where they estimate the revenue that they're going to get, they only estimate 48% compliance in total. I think it'll be much less than that. And whenever you try to balance a state budget on a very volatile type of a tax, what happens is you come up short, and then you've got to make up the difference somewhere else. And guess who's going to make up the difference?
Of course.
It's going to be hardworking families across our state that are going to have to make that up.
Okay. Now, you mentioned an additional tax, $6
billion. The payroll tax, similar to Seattle's jobs tax, however, much more. This is basically, if you remember the Seattle job tax and then how Amazon moved out of Seattle and into Bellevue, this is a quadrupling of that Seattle job tax. This would be 5.2% tax paid by your employers. The Seattle jobs tax was, you know, about 0.75% up to 1.5%. Huge tax.
But 5.2% of what now?
So this would be 5.2% that would be taxed that your employer would pay if you are making more than the Social Security threshold, which is, I believe, $176,000. So think about all of those high-tech jobs in Seattle, the high-paying high-tech jobs. They're going to get additional taxes. I know that a lot of these companies, Amazon, Microsoft, and others, have just come out and said this is a game changer for them. You know, it's very easy for them to pack up their laptop and move to where tax rates are more favorable for them.
So again, every company that pays an employee more than $175,000 a year will be subject to a 5.2% tax on the amount they pay over that?
That's correct.
Okay. So essentially, the party that complains about businesses being greedy is going to tax companies for giving more money to employees.
That's right. And you know what? you know, those companies, they can pretty much defend themselves. But this third tax is the one that has me fuming, John, because this is the one that is going to touch more and more people, middle class, up and coming, renters, mm-hmm. all throughout our state. And do you remember last year, John, when they tried to move the property tax limit from 1% growth to 3% growth? Do you remember all of the outrage over that?
Yeah, they're tripling the amount of money that a county and city governments and other government entities at the local level could collect, from 1% without a vote of the people to 3% every year.
Guess what they're doing this year? They are literally blowing the cap off of the limit right now. There's going to be no 3% cap. They're simply tying it to some formula about inflation and population growth. So if you run the numbers over the last few years, that would average out to about 4.5% per year that your property taxes could go up. It is just an incredible, incredible increase.
Is that from just the state version or state and local government?
Well, whenever you look at the state and local government, I think you're looking at about $1.7 billion a year in higher property taxes.
Wow.
So just short of $2 billion. Huge, huge, which will have enormous effect on people across our state, people who I talk to all the time. We're just trying to make ends meet.
Of course.
And then
this has got to be the call to arms for getting rid of the status quo in Olympia, just getting rid of the majority party. The property tax hit should be it. That should be the alarm bell.
Absolutely. That's the one that I am the most livid about. And it's not only that, but this budget proposal that they've sent out, John, is just, I can't figure it out. It's schizophrenic. So let me take you through a couple of items if I can.
Before that, can I play you? Here's how the Democrats are selling their tax increase.
Okay.
This is June Robinson, one of your colleagues. I think she's from Everett, Democrat from Everett.
We're working to make our upside down tax code more equitable by cutting the sales tax, putting money back into the hands of working and middle-class Washingtonians, and providing meaningful property tax relief for low-income seniors and veterans with disabilities.
That's what they think is going to cover them.
Okay, so let me talk you through this. It's very easy.
Sure.
So $21 billion in tax increases. Then they also have a proposal to reduce the sales tax from 6.5% down to 6%, meaning if you go and buy $100 worth of goods, you're going to save 50 cents, right? So maybe you're going to save enough to buy some of those nice plastic bags that we have for you. It's a head nod towards affordability, I guess, but really I think it's meaningless. And it also goes to show what I was talking about is the schizophrenic nature of this tax proposal. So they go through all of these gyrations to raise $21 billion in taxes, but yet they give a head nod to affordability by dropping sales tax, you know, 0.5%. I mean, you know, great, thank you. Or they go through and they're going to blow the cap off of the limit that property taxes can go up. And then waiting in the wings, I believe it's going to be voted out of committee tomorrow in the Housing Committee. They have a proposal for rent stabilization. How is that going to work
rent,
out in the future?
Rent stabilization is their language. It's not stabilization. It's rent control.
Sure. So whenever you have uncontrolled property taxes going up, but you try to control rent, that's not good for the housing market at all. Some of the other things that they do, I think, is really interesting is they give $4 billion in pay raises to state employees, but then they turn around and put those same employees on furlough so they can save money in the budget. It doesn't make sense at all. They took a vote just recently to forego some enhanced rates for child care providers to make child care more affordable. But why would you do that and raise taxes at the same time in the amount of, you know, a gross of $21 billion, net $17 billion. College tuition, they just got killed in a committee hearing yesterday for raising a bill that would raise college tuition $700 on an incoming freshman and then increase that to $900 a year by the time that freshman is a senior, all while increasing taxes. They have another one that would another bill that would raise the cost of a Discover Pass as well as your hunting and fishing licenses, and they're trying to increase taxes. I can't understand if they're trying to do a savings budget or a taxing budget, but it seems like they're trying to do both. This just got me very confused about their actual intent.
Again, I just wanted our listeners to know how radical this is. By the way, what has been the largest previous tax increase in state history? This is $21 billion. What's the largest previous tax increase?
I believe that it was dealing with the McCleary decision about, 8-10 years ago for school funding. And I'm not sure exactly how much that one was.
Yeah, I think it was less than half of what this is. I'm not positive, but I think we're going to be talking to Joe Fain, who was in the state Senate when all that came down, and I'll ask him. But again, I want people to know just how incredibly radical the amounts we're talking about and the types of taxes these are.
Yeah. And then one of the other things that I'll mention to you that I thought was very interesting.
30 seconds. Go for it.
If you recall Governor Ferguson's inaugural address, he said he would veto any bill that came to him that did not have funding for law enforcement, $100 million in grants to hire law enforcement. This proposal has $0 towards that end.
There you go, folks. That's what it's looking like in Olympia. That's how radical they are. They were waiting to spring this. And I'm amazed, by the way, they kept it a secret as long as they did. Some of this I'm not surprised by. Some of it is kind of surprising. And this is what the Republicans are going to be battling. At least you have a clear demarcation point between Democrats and Republicans. I think the Republican response on this is simply to say no to any new taxes, period. No to any new taxes at all. This is a problem created by excessive spending in Olympia. Only spending restraint is going to cure it. Chris Gayldon, final word, sir.
Well, you know, going off of what you just said, not only do we not need new taxes, Senate Republicans have put out a budget, our Save Washington budget, that proves you can fully fund government without cuts and without taxes.
And again, if people want to see that budget, they go to...
You can Google Save Washington, and the S is a money sign. Save Washington.
Save Washington. Chris Gayldon, doing great work down in Olympia. Thanks very much for walking the listeners through just how bad it is in the state capitol right now. You deserve combat pay, sir.
Thank you, John.
All right. When I got back, I took a very short trip to get a little bit of sunshine. And when I came back, I come to find out probably the most radical, far-reaching, unbelievable, and likely unconstitutional tax increases had been proposed by the majority Democrats on both transportation and the budget. Now, we're going to set aside transportation for tomorrow's show because I just don't want to overload you. But there are radical proposals in both the House and the Senate. And I asked Joe Fain, who served two very distinguished terms in the state Senate from the 47th District, Southeast King County, to join us. He's now the president of the Bellevue Chamber of Commerce to tell us what he makes of what the Democrats in Olympia have just introduced. Joe Fain, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, John, and welcome back.
All right. Well, someone sounds like he just woke up.
Well, I'm pushing the better part of a 7-day cold here, and this tax plan out of both the House and the Senate haven't made me feel much better.
No, not at all. So, sum up your immediate reaction as a citizen, as a former legislator, as a current president of the Bellevue Chamber business organization, what you thought of this.
Well, I could probably sum it up if this were a downloadable podcast, but not one that I could say over the airwaves here in regulated FCC land. But I find these ideas to be some of the most irresponsible, to say nothing of the fact that they're predicated on the fact that the state budget needs some massive infusion of tax revenue when the reality is it's gone up over 110% over the last 10 years.
Now, for a little bit of clarity, the budget has gone up more than 100% over the last 10 years. Is that what you said, Joe?
That's right.
Okay. Inflation during that time has gone up, I think, somewhere in the high 30s.
Yep.
And population has gone up about 10% in the last 10 years?
Just a hair over 10%. So the budget growth is well outpacing population growth, well outpacing inflation, but probably the metric that matters most is how much faster is the budget growing compared to the median household income.
Yeah.
And it really is growing at twice the clip of household income, which just continues to make budgets like this so irresponsible.
So think about that. The budget is growing twice as fast as population growth and inflation combined, and it's growing twice as fast over the last 10 years as income growth. And yet we're told, and yet we're told the solution is obviously we need to raise taxes.
Yes. And it's not just the run-of-the-mill taxes that we normally see pop out of Olympia. Yes, there's some B&O taxes, there's some property taxes, but it's the unique nature of what's being proposed this year that has really sent so many in the business community into a tizzy, and that's namely two new sources of income. The payroll excise tax, which is a unique name for a income tax. It would essentially raise, according to the Senate plan, a 5% tax on all wages above what's known as the Social Security wage limit, which is currently at $171,000. So 5% of your earnings above that, your employer, a qualifying employer, would have to pay that to the state. So it's a new jumpstart tax like what we saw recently approved in Seattle, which of course led to a massive exodus of Amazon employees over to Bellevue.
So the reason I wanted to bring you on the show, Joe Fain, is not just because you're generally a good guy and had a reputation of being, you know, more of a moderately conservative member, meaning a reasonable member of the, you know, state Senate, to see both sides every once in a while, vote in the Democrats' direction, sometimes hang tough with the conservative direction, but also because you're a lawyer. And so I'm wondering if this tax, this payroll tax, passes constitutional muster.
Well, I think the real question there was unfortunately decided when the Seattle Municipal Chamber and other business organizations in Seattle challenged the jumpstart tax. And the courts came back and ruled in favor of the city and said the tax could move forward. Now, a lot of us that have read the Constitution and understand the uniformity clause, basically that all property in the state has to be taxed uniformly at the same rate, every class of property, would look at this type of a tax and would say, well, that's clearly not doing that. But by exempting a whole class of of income, which the Supreme Court has said is property. So essentially all that income below $171,500, that is a way to get around the uniformity clause, according to the courts. And so, you know, my expectation is that based on that precedent that went up to the state Supreme Court and found in favor of the city of Seattle, that that this tax would be found constitutional in our state, and there really wouldn't be much of a federal constitutional or statutory challenge that could be brought up in federal court.
And not only that, this tax, as Senator Chris Gildon pointed out earlier in the show, this tax would actually be higher than the one they levied in Seattle.
It's true. It's a higher tax. But here's another interesting quirk about the way that it's drafted, is that if Seattle taxpayers or the businesses that are paying this tax in Seattle would actually get a credit for the amount that they are paying to the city of Seattle against their state portion of the tax. So a way of not, you know, double hitting those Seattle taxpayers. But essentially what that means is that taxpayers in Vancouver, Washington, and Bellevue, and Richland, and Spokane would actually be subsidizing Seattle municipal operations, because they would be paying a tax that then Seattle taxpayers would be able to credit.
What a great point. I don't think anyone has mentioned that yet. Wow.
Well, just one in a number of reasons why the business community in Seattle and elsewhere is deeply concerned about this. But that doesn't even touch on the more unique, shall we say, proposal that's come out of both the House and the Senate. And that is a wealth tax, a tax on unrealized gains, or a tax on an individual's net worth. And it is not just the net worth of those individuals here in Washington, or the assets that are held here in Washington, but it, the statute actually says it is the statewide wealth of an individual. So if you have $50 million in assets anywhere in the world in aggregate, you're going to be paying under the House plan a 0.8% tax, and under the Senate plan a 1% tax on those assets. And the Senate goes so far as to say that you're going to be paying that tax on the very first dollar of assets that you have. It doesn't even exempt up to that $50 million mark. Now, there's certainly reasons to be concerned about income inequality and about concentration of wealth and things like that, but this is a direct affront to a whole host of industries. We will see a complete collapse of angel investing, the startup community, the you know, the innovation economy that has really put our greater Puget Sound area and Washington State on the map. I am very concerned that if we've got sports fans out there that are excited to see the Sonics come back to town, what kind of motivation would anyone have to put money into owning a professional sports franchise if that asset is going to, even if it weren't profitable, small business, medium-sized business, athletic franchise, you know, you're going to be paying taxes on potentially unprofitable investments. And it's just an absurdity. We do not have one anywhere else in the United States. It's been proposed here and there by different legislative leaders, especially very progressive ones back east. But in other jurisdictions where this has been tried, France, Germany, it has had to be repealed.
They've all let it go.
It actually lost money for the state.
Yeah, they all let it go. It not only doesn't work at the state level, it doesn't work in any country. And not only that, when it does work, it's incredibly volatile. There's
incredibly volatile.
Yes. And so do you see any constitutional issue there?
Well, again, there will be other questions asked of this particular proposal. But again, we're looking at the uniformity clause and how that applies. And, you know, this particular Supreme Court has been very deferential to tax policy that the legislature has passed. And so while there will be some unique arguments that get to be made here, I think it's a coin toss about whether or not the courts would uphold it.
Okay. Now, one more tax that I think is going to bring people out of their chairs in fury, and that is allowing a 1% cap on property tax collections to be lifted entirely. No 2% gap, no 3% cap, no 4% cap. It's lifted to a economic formula that currently would, I think, top out at the 4.5%. A massive increase in property tax collections at a time when we're talking about how unaffordable housing is for so many people.
Yeah, it's a real concern. Now, there are plenty of municipalities that have been concerned that the growth rate that they've been constrained to of 1% has not kept up with the rising costs of running those municipalities. And there's been a lot of debate in Olympia over the last few years about whether that is an issue that needs to be addressed. But the proposals out of the House and Senate vary between, resetting at a 3% cap plus population growth and inflation, or just eliminating the cap altogether. And that is a massive proposed increase in state property tax. And we already know that folks are having a hard time staying in their homes because of property taxes alone, let alone the rise of cost of living.
So tell me, Joe Fain, reading the political tea leaves, because that's another reason to have you on the show, is you know a thing or two about politics. You won elections in a swing state, in a swing district. What do you think the public's reaction to this will be?
Well, first, I don't think we can overemphasize, and it's important, particularly for a more conservative audience, to recognize that there is a lot of angst out there about the concentration of wealth, income inequality. In Seattle metropolitan area itself, the president's very unpopular. Elon Musk is the poster child for everything that's wrong with our capitalist economy. Whether that's, right or wrong is independent of the fact that there is a lot of angst out there. And so the high earner income taxes, the capital gains tax that we saw adopted and expanded a few years ago, that voters rejected the repeal of, and even this new wealth tax. My gut tells me unpopular. Moving to repeal it could be one of the possibilities through the initiative process. But there is a lot of frustration for those issues out there, and so I don't view it as the slam dunk that a lot of us would like to think it would be. These are dangerous proposals. They could very well make it onto the books and stay on the books if they aren't defeated in their infancy.
Our last 30 seconds, what are the chances of them being defeated in their infancy? In other words, not passing.
Well, there's a lot of folks looking into their crystal ball right now. I think the wealth tax surprisingly might actually have the legs to go the distance because of those aforementioned considerations. The governor, Ferguson, has said early on that he has concerns about the wealth tax for a whole host of reasons. But it is the payroll tax that has really galvanized so many in the business community, the tech community, to get that off the banks, because Lord knows those jobs, it's not that inexpensive to fold up a laptop and move to Austin.
Joe Fain, the president, CEO of the Bellevue Chamber of Commerce, former two-term Washington State Senator. Thanks very much for joining us on The Commute with Carlson this morning, Joe.
Thanks, John.